Hello everyone, Sam here, host of the Tri-Course on Radio Sonar, here to talk to you this week about the NUS conference. Now, the NUS is the National Union of Students. Every single year they host a conference. This one was in Brighton in April. The NUS itself, this is literally the dictionary definition, it's a confederation of students' unions in the United Kingdom. Around 600 students' unions are affiliated, which obviously then you take into account the amount of students in those institutions. There's a lot of people that they cover, similar to trade unions in kind of more commercial jobs. They are the union for students' unions, essentially. Every year they host a conference just to cover all of the motions that are put in. People vote on how they want the officers next year to act, how they want them to, what they want them to do. Basically, every little single piece of NUS is controlled by that conference. Lots of elections, and it's a very, very hectic 3 days. I will now go into why those 3 days are so hectic. So this started on Tuesday the 19th of April. The registration opened at 9. Early in the morning, I know. There was a lot of kind of training and briefings before the conference actually started at 12. There's lots of announcements, some opening remarks from the current president. There are some speakers. This year was a speaker from the European Students' Union, as well as the General Secretary of the TUC. At 1, the conference actually started going underway. This started the voting process, just confirming the minutes from the last conference, as well as any kind of final proposals. Every delegate was given a green card, which they used to vote with. These delegates, however, this is the complicated part. Each delegate was voted in by their respective union. So, I went to this conference. I ran in an election back in October to be a delegate for this conference. It's worked out by one delegate position per 3,500 students. I'm from Solent, so we got 3 delegate positions. The president of the union will automatically get a space, and then the other 3 we had to run an election for. Now, I won this election, so I was one of the delegates to go. Us 4 people then have to vote on the motions, we vote on the officers, we vote in the NUS elections to basically shape what the NUS does for the next year, thinking about our own union. So we'd represent 11,000 students. Roughly. Now, take into account there are over 700 unions, I said about earlier on. Take into account the amount of students that some of those institutions have. I'd say the average was around about 5 delegates per union. Change that into a room, and there were definitely over 700 people in that room representing millions and millions of students, deciding what their unions would be facing for the next year, essentially. So, quite a lot of pressure, really. Before the conference, you're sent a voting online sheet where you have to vote on the order of the zones. There are various different zones. I'll go through them when we reach them all. So first of all was the priority zone campaign report. Now this priority zone is the one that they choose as the top zone. It then moves into the education zone. It then moved into the union development zone. That was the end of day one. Day two was then the welfare zone, followed by the Society and Citizenship Zone, followed by the Annual General Meeting, followed by just lots of reports on that day, and then that day ended. Then the next day, the Thursday, the final day, was just the continued rule changes and the AGM motions, and then conference floor closed with a lot of different speeches from different people. Now, I'll go into these in a second, but first I think we need a bit of a music break. So here's the new recent song from Gwen Stefani.
Can't do this to me. Wait a minute.
So following the vote for the order of the zones, they were labelled in this way. They started with the new membership zone, so any students' unions who want to join the NUS then have to be ratified to join the NUS. It then goes to the priority zone, so what the NUS priorities should be for the next year. Then went into the education zone, then the union development zone, then the welfare zone, then the society and citizenship zone. Then there were challenges to the estimates, which was all about kind of budgeting, and then it went into the annual general meeting. Now, there were must have been about 20 motions for each of these zones, and there was a lot of debate around a lot of them. So, just starting, for example, one of the first motions to be put forward was for the new membership. So, for this year, there were 8 new institutions who have now joined the NUS. In the priority zone, the first motion was working for students' unions, winning more power for students. I'm not going to read out all of them, I'm just going to kind of pick out a few kind of highlights from each of them. So that was kind of the highlight from that. Then moved into the education zone, where one of the main motions passed was about cutting courses off from the market forces. It was called Divorce Our Courses from Market Forces. Bit of a tongue twister there. Basically, it was saying about how there have been new policies introduced to increase market competition between universities. The NUS don't necessarily see this as a good thing, and it was just a motion tackling that, really. Moving on, we move to the Union Development Zone, the first motion being the impact of student opportunities. Now, this wished to resolve that the NUS to continue the Love SUs campaign, a campaign basically saying about the core theme of student opportunities and promoting the good work the student unions do. There are amendments to this to include options for open university students, as well as tailoring specific support for Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales. One of the other motions that was passed was talking about safe social elections. So every year, student unions do elections, and the use of social media in these is becoming more and more prominent. Now, this, of course, creates a problem of potentially online bullying. This motion was basically to say that the NUS will hopefully try and open a dialogue with social medias to make elections a safe space online. Also in this zone was a motion for keeping Wednesday afternoons free, which is a quite funny acronym because the motion itself was QUAF, QUAF, QUAF is on fire, standing for Keep Wednesday Afternoons Free. This was the thing for me, is that a lot of the titles of the motions didn't really explain what they were. So when I first read QUAF, QUAF, QUAF is on fire, I was just kind of thinking, what in the world does that mean? Anyway, moving on to welfare zone. The major one for this was saying the NUS to support the NHS. So it's talking a lot around the junior doctors, talking around keeping the NHS as a politically free kind of organisation, keeping it in the public hands. There's also another motion in the welfare zone about anti-Semitism on campus. This one had a lot of debate around it. The NUS president even made a very rousing speech on this to say, it's 2016, why do we not already kind of support Jewish students, and why do we not officially commemorate Holocaust Memorial Day? So this was a very intense motion, especially the kind of feeling in the room. Happily enough, it passed, so this will become motion as part of NUS next year. The next policy zone was society and citizenship. Now, this zone did cover a lot of these kind of areas. So there was the first motion was about education for persons in detention. There was also a there was another motion that was talking about working with local councils to ensure that students are integrated within the local communities, because as I'm sure you're aware, students do bring in a lot of revenue to the local areas that they live in. There was also a motion focusing on refugees being welcome in universities and colleges, and a lot of things about voter registration. After all of these zones had passed, it was the annual general meeting where there was lots of kind of rule changes and policy changes. So the first one for this was making policy more accessible, more relevant and democratic, removing some of the rules and replacing them with other different rules, just to make sure that the current policy lapses were more fair. This then led, after the rules change, into the AGM motions, the first motion being, now this was one of the really big ones from conference, motion 605, introducing a full-time NUS trans officer and an autonomous NUS trans liberation campaign. And this vote monumentously passed, which led to a lot of students in the room crying and cheering and basically being ecstatic over the result. This is the kind of bulk of the motions. There were over 100 motions that went through. I there's not enough time in the world to actually kind of go over all of them. There is actually a live stream on the NUS YouTube channel, which is over 6 hours long if you really, really want to watch that. Feel free, I'm not going to judge you if you watch the whole thing. So I hope this gives you a good idea of what the NUS conference was and what it actually tried to achieve. I know I haven't covered everything, but I've tried to cover as much as I can in the limited time I have. I'm going to leave you now with a small little funny story of what happened to me at conference. Now, one of the most important documents you have is your voting slip, the green piece of paper. You don't want to do anything to this at all, you don't want to damage it or anything. And of course, what happened to me? Well, I got a packet of Kool-Aid, because I've never had Kool-Aid before. It's a little powdery drink that you make with a lot of water and sugar. A lot more water and sugar than I initially thought. I decided in the hotel room that I was going to make this, against my better judgment, so I made it in the kettle. Now, the kettle wasn't big enough and it was very, very sour. I poured in all of the sugar I had in the room, and it was just about all right to drink. So I poured it into the, like, 4 cups that were provided, and left them all on my nightstand, thinking, you know, if I want a drink overnight, I'll just grab one and have a quick drink. Woke up the next morning to my alarm going off, put it on snooze. So I'm laying there for the next 10 minutes and I slightly shift a bit, and then I hear the sound of crockery hitting the floor. And then the slow realisation that, oh, they were all full of Kool-Aid. So I leapt out of bed, looked at the floor, no red stain, no cup. I was wondering, okay, where's the cup gone? What I didn't see was my bag was there, right underneath the nightstand, like a Rube Goldberg machine. It had fallen off of the bedside table into my bag, soaking every single thing in my bag. I spent a good 20 minutes with a hairdryer just trying to dry it out. And of course, my voting sheet was nearly ruined. Luckily, it just had a little bit of red on the corner. Still valid as a vote. Thank God for that. So, in short, if you're going to a conference, don't make Kool-Aid in your hotel room.
You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Do you remember the early 2000s? Choosing your top friends on MySpace, crafting the perfect MSN away message, rubber bracelets for every cause, flip phones, and the time when Avril Lavigne was still cool. I'm just kidding, she's still cool. Smoke Radio didn't have to remember, as they relived it this Monday with the second BBC Radio 1 takeover slot for student radio. They made a playlist of 16 songs with their perfect school disco playlist, and Smoke Radio's Michael Lavin took us through it. Here's a rundown of what they picked in no particular order. So number 1. Not to be confused with a TV show of the same name, it's Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand. Michael Jackson's childhood debut, The Jackson 5, I Want You Back. Before he got trapped in a closet, R. Kelly with Ignition. Justin Timberlake, Rock Your Body, rocking an all-white clothing look, of course. A song about some kids who are aiming way too far out of their league, Fountains of Wayne, Stacey's mom. Little boy, The artist who forgot an exclamation mark isn't a letter. Pink with So What. Fatboy Slim, Praise You, Praise Who, not sure, but the song's pretty good. A Loaded Gun Complex, which sounds pretty dangerous, especially when going down. Fall Out Boy with Sugar We're Going Down. Beyonce featuring Jay-Z. Obviously written before Lemonade. Here's Crazy in Love.
Crazy right now.
hard to follow that up, but it's My Sharona by The Knack, a song written about a girl who apparently felt like being hit around the head with a baseball bat. Sounds like it really hurts. S Club 7, Reach for the Stars. Climb every mountain higher. Come on, you know you sung it in your head. Getting lost somewhere between West Philadelphia and Bel Air. It's Will Smith with Miami. Yeah. The correct response to the question is Destiny's Child. It's Destiny's Child with Say My Name. The song which makes me wonder, who is Mr. Darkside? It's The Killers with Mr. Brightside. Foreshadowing the rise and eventual end of the popular comedy, TLC, No Scrubs. And finally, my personal favourite, Outkast with Hey Ya. You can listen to the whole show on BBC iPlayer Radio for the next couple of weeks. Just search for the School Disco playlist and you'll be dancing awkwardly like you're a 13-year-old again. Or sitting at the back with a bubblegum panda pop and a Tempe Freddo. It's your call, really.